Proverbs chapter 12, please. Proverbs chapter 12. We'll read the first 9 verses. Whoso loveth instruction loveth knowledge, but he that hateth reproof is brutish. A good man obtaineth favor of the Lord, but a man of wicked devices will he condemn. A man shall not be established by wickedness, but the root of the righteous shall not be moved. A virtuous woman is a crown to her husband, but she that maketh ashamed is as rottenness in his bones. The thoughts of the righteous are right, but the counsels of the wicked are deceit. The words of the wicked are to lie in wait for blood, but the mouth of the upright shall deliver them. The wicked are overthrown and are not, but the house of the righteous shall stand. A man shall be commended according to his wisdom, but he that is of a perverse heart shall be despised. He that is despised and hath a servant is better than he that honoreth himself and lacketh bread.
Psalm 1 this morning, first psalm, the book of Psalm, and the first psalm in that book is where we'll be, If you'd like a Bible, you don't have a Bible, you'd like one, just raise your hand and Marcus will get you one straight away. So if you'd like a Bible, raise your hand nice and high and Marcus will get you one. Everyone good? All right, Proverbs. We won't go to Proverbs yet, we'll go to Psalm first, Psalm 1. It's about right in the middle of your Bible. Book of Psalms, close to it. Isn't it good to know that God is faithful?
Amen.
You know, there's a lot of things in life. There's a lot of circumstances that you face. There's a lot of people that you may come across, whether it be family, friends, associates, work colleagues, whatever it may be. There's a lot that you interact with. A lot of individuals are unfaithful. I'm glad God's faithful. And there's been a lot of people let me down, and I've let a lot of people down, but I'm glad God's never let me down, because God is always faithful. And I appreciate that song, Kaylee. Thank you for that. It's good. All right, Psalm. We'll start our reading in verse 1 through verse 6. If you're able to stand with any ease, I just ask you to do that in reverence to the word of the Lord this morning as we read the scriptures. Psalm, verse 1 through verse 6. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Heavenly Father, we ask a blessing upon a reading of your word. Please help us this morning. My Lord, I need a touch from heaven this morning. I pray that you'd fill me with the Holy Spirit, that you grant me that unction and that fresh anointing to be able to preach your word. I pray you'd help me. And then, Lord, help each and every dear soul that is here this morning. And Lord, I pray that in it all you'd be honored and glorified and Jesus would be magnified. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I'd like to draw your attention to the first few words in verse 4. Verse 4, the first few words there in verse 4, it says, the ungodly are not so. If you want a title for the message, that's the title. The ungodly are not so. Now, last week we preached and we looked at the first three verses in this psalm, and we looked at the blessed man. Blessed is the man. And we looked at that passage, we looked at those three verses, and we examined some things about a blessed individual and what I need to do and what you need to do in order to be blessed by the Lord. And we examined some good things, some positive things. There were some things that were a real blessing out of verse 1, 2, and 3 last week. And in contrast to what we're looking at this morning, we see in verse 1 that the blessed man, he had right counsel, right company, and a right couch. In verse 2, we noticed he delights in the law of God continually. And in verse 3, he's comprehensively blessed beyond measure. And that's what we learn about the blessed individual in the first three verses. But we hit a stark contrast in verse 4. And it starts out very bluntly by saying, the ungodly are not so. Now let me make this statement about this psalm. And this psalm divides all of humanity into two groups. There are the blessed and there are the ungodly. And there is no grey area in between. There's no grey area with God. You're either blessed because you've been born again and you're saved, or you're ungodly. And that breaks, what do we got? About 7 billion people on earth today. All of the 7 billion people on earth can be divided into one of those two columns. Either blessed or ungodly. And we can divide this congregation into that. I don't know who's saved and who's not, but you're either blessed because you're saved or you're ungodly because you're lost. And that's just how God divides it. God divides things very plainly, very black and white. And I'm grateful how the Lord does that. The ungodly. We come across that word frequently in the scriptures. And in this psalm, it's mentioned about four or five times. I think five times it's mentioned in these six verses. Notice, if you would please, that ungodly, the word ungodly means, it has the idea of anybody that is without God. The ungodly are all those that have not God as their own. They are without God. Now, they may be religious, but they're godless. You know, there's an awful lot of religious people in the world, isn't there? And there's an awful lot of religious people in Caloundra. And there's an awful lot of religious people across Queensland and across Australia. But there's an awful lot that may be religious that are godless. And to be godless is to be ungodly. And to be godless is to be lost and unsaved. The ungodly includes, gathers together all men, all women, and all children that have not been born again. Now we think of somebody that's ungodly, somehow in our worldly humanistic thinking, without taking into consideration the Bible, we think somebody that is ungodly is a really bad person. Like, you know, maybe a really vile sinner or a really this or that, put over whatever title you want on it. But the Bible declares that anybody that doesn't know God, anybody that's not been born again, is ungodly. So if you're lost and you've never been saved this morning, I say to you with love in my heart for you, by biblical definition, you're ungodly. And that's in stark contrast to what we looked at last week about the blessed man or the blessed woman. And what a blessing it is to be born again. What a blessing it is to be saved, to be washed in the blood of Jesus, to have my sins forgiven, to have eternal life, and to know that when I die, I'm going to heaven. What a wonderful thing. Isn't that a blessing? That's good. Thank God that I can say, and that if for you as well, if you've been saved, you can sit there and say, thank God I'm blessed this morning because I've been saved from the fires of hell. I've been saved from my sin, and I'm a blessed individual. What a blessing. But we must be balanced in our view, and we balance it out this morning as we look at the negative side of this passage of Scripture. The ungodly are not so. They're not blessed in any way. And I want you to see, first of all, in verse 4, point number 1, I'd like you to notice the fact that the ungodly are lifeless. The ungodly are lifeless. Notice what verse 4 says. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Now have a look back in verse 3, because this is what verse 4 is contrasted against. And ye shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so. Do you see the connection between verse 3 and verse 4? Verse 3, the individual is planted by the rivers of living water. His roots are tapped into the waters of God. His roots are tapped into the everlasting waters of the Lord Jesus Christ. He has that everlasting life rooted in him, and life springing up through those roots, and he's flourishing and producing fruit, and she's full of life and vigor, and praise God, that's a picture of someone that's been saved and born again, and they're alive spiritually. The ungodly are not so, notice what it says, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. And I say to you that first of all this morning, if you're sitting here this morning and you've never been born again, you are lifeless this morning when it comes to spiritual things. It says here, the ungodly are not so, but they are like chaff. Chaff has no root. Chaff has no moisture. Chaff has no greenness. And grass has no fruitfulness. Because someone that is not born again, someone that's never been saved, they're dead spiritually. Their spirit man is lifeless. And it needs to be birthed anew. And that's what happens. We come alive spiritually when God saves our soul. But if you're ungodly this morning, if you've never been saved, the reality is that you're lifeless this morning spiritually. You may sit under the preaching of the word regularly, on a regular basis. You may sit under the preaching of the word. You may read your Bible and just none of it really makes any sense. But that's because you're dead spiritually. You have no life in you spiritually. Chaff is vain. Chaff is empty. Chaff is destitute. And the ungodly are destitute and empty without faith in God and without faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Being without faith in Christ and therefore without eternal life. Here's how the Bible terms it: dead in trespasses and in sins. If you're without Jesus, never been saved, the Bible declares dead and in trespasses. I mean, dead's dead, isn't it? I mean, how do you classify something as dead when it's dead? If it has a little bit of life in it, we don't say it's dead. Yeah. Out on the cattle stations, we used to. And sorry if this is too graphic for some of you, but anyway, it is life. Life's life. It's real. We used to get our own killers. We used to kill our own beef, and you go out there and you shoot the beast, and as you get up to it, before you bleed it, you've got to cut its throat, bleed the blood out, all that sort of thing. They do that in the abattoir. It happens with the meat you eat from the supermarket, all that sort of thing. But you get up there and you might just touch their eyes. While you're touching their eye, if there's any life, they're going to move their eye, they're going to blink. See, if you might have shot them a bit off or something, might have just paralyzed and they still got life. If they're not blinking, someone poke you in the eye and you don't move, you're dead. If there's no blood pumping around your body, you're dead. And you see, if you've never been saved, you've never been born again, there is no spiritual life in you. When someone gets up and sings a spiritual song, it does nothing for you. When someone gets up and reads the scriptures, it means nothing to you. When someone gets up and preaches the word, it's just, and preaches a message, it's just like water off a duck's back. It doesn't resonate with anything. You're dead on the inside. You're dead spiritually. Chaff on the inside. There's no root in you down in the living waters of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's just all dry and chaffy down there. And we need to be made alive spiritually. And we need to be born again. So the Bible declares dead in trespasses and in sins. But you know the wonderful thing? There's some good verses in the Bible. Let me give them to you. John 3 and verse 15 says that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. So you may be sitting here this morning, you may be saying, well, preacher, what in the world are you talking about? I'm sitting here, sitting upright, my heart's beating, I'm looking out of my eyes, I'm looking at you, but yet you're telling me I'm dead. You may not be dead physically, but you're dead spiritually. And what you need is eternal life. You may have temporary life pumping through your veins, but temporary life's not going to help you in eternity. We need eternal life. John 10:28, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. 1 John 5:11, and this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. I say to you that the ungodly are lifeless. The ungodly have no life, no spiritual life in them. It goes on and says, and are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Now, in Bible days, chaff was considered worthless. It was of no value. So what they do after they've harvested the grain, whether it be wheat or barley or whatever it may be, and they're winnowing the grain, they're beating it out, and they're trying to get the grain out of the husks and out of the stalk and out of all of that. So what they did in Bible days, they'd get that grain and they'd have a big pile of it, and they'd get up usually on I'm not talking about Mount Everest, I'm not talking about Mount Hotham, I'm talking about a bit of a rise where there's a bit of a breeze, and they would get up there and they'd have their winnowing ground and they would throw the grain in the air. And the reason they'd throw that grain in the air is because they wanted the heavy grain that was of any value to fall back down, and they wanted the chaff to be blown away by the wind because it was no use. See, they didn't have machinery to do it in those days, so they'd stand there manually throwing the grain in the air and allowing the wind to blow the chaff away, because there's no substance in chaff, there's no weight in it. And just like somebody that's lost, that's never been born again, that's ungodly, there is no spiritual weight, there is no spiritual life, there's no vitality in them, and therefore they shall be driven away in the wind like the chaff. No substance, no life. I think of a couple of verses. In Isaiah 64 and verse 6 it says, "But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf." Now listen to this statement. "We all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away." You know, being in an ungodly state is to be in sin. And while you're in sin and you're lost, your sin just takes you further and further from God. And until we're born again and given eternal life, only then do we start gravitating towards God. But without that life in us spiritually, our iniquities take us away. Turn with me, if you would, please. If you're in Psalm, just go back to the next book. You'll see Job, J-O-B, the book of Job. Find chapter 21 and verse 17. I want to read a few verses to you. Job 21, verse 17 and through 20. Notice what it says here. Very descriptive language about the ungodly. "How oft is the candle of the wicked put out, and how oft cometh their destruction upon them? God distributeth sorrows in his anger. They are as stubble," there it is, that's like chaff, "they are as stubble before the wind, and as chaff that the storm carrieth away. God layeth up his iniquity for his children. He rewardeth him, and he shall know it. His eyes shall see his destruction, and he shall drink of the wrath of the Almighty." Oh, I tell you, that's in stark contrast to the blessed man in verse 1, 2, and verse 3 of Psalm 1. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Psalm 35 and verse 5 says, "Let them be as chaff before the wind." Notice this. This is an astounding statement. I've read Psalm 35 countless times, but it's never jumped out at me. Psalm 35, 5. "Let them be as chaff before the wind, and let the angel of the Lord chase them." I tell you, if you're ungodly this morning, if you've never been born again, you're in trouble. You're lifeless. You're lifeless, and you're in trouble. Not only do I see lifeless in verse 4, but let's move on to point 2. The ungodly are defenseless in verse 5. "Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous." Do you see that there in Psalm 1 and verse 5? I'll read it again. "Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous." Notice therefore, it says therefore. Need to stop and see what it's there for, right? We need to connect it back to the previous verse. They're lifeless. There is no life in them. They're like chaff which the wind driveth away. They are not blessed like the blessed man or the blessed woman in verse 1, verse 2 or verse 3. Therefore, because they have no spiritual life in them, because they've never been born again, because the ungodly have no spiritual life in them. Therefore, they are without defense on the judgment day. Notice what it says, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment. The ungodly shall not stand in the judgment. Hebrews 9 and verse 27 says, and it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. The reality is, folks, that each and every one of us have an appointment with death. Unavoidable. You're going to die unless Jesus comes back. You have an appointment with death. It is appointed unto every one of us to die. And then it goes on and says, but after this, the judgment. Just as every one of us have an appointment with death, every one of us have an appointment with the judge. You're going to die. I'm going to die. I'm going to stand before the judge one day. You're going to stand before the judge one day. And the reality is, if you die in your ungodly state, if you die spiritually dead, where you've never been born again, the reality is, when you stand before the great judge, you are utterly defenseless. You have no defense. There is no defense. Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 14 says, for God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. I'm telling you, judgment day is on its way. You will be judged. Folks, to be defenseless is to be powerless, vulnerable, unprotected, or liable. Liable has the idea of being responsible by law or legally answerable. And the reality is, if you die without the Lord Jesus Christ as your advocate, if you die without the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour, you are liable before the law of God. You are answerable to the law of God. And I'm telling you this morning, if you die in your ungodly state, you die utterly defenseless. There is no defense outside of Jesus. There is no defense for you. There's no one to stand between the law and you without Jesus. Defenseless. You know, Ecclesiastes 12, 14 says that God will bring every work into judgment with every secret thing. Boy, I'm glad I'm saved. I mean, aren't you glad you're saved? I'm glad I'm born again. Because I've got some secrets under the blood. Don't you? I mean, I'm not the only one with secrets. Haven't you got some things you'd rather no one know about? I'm talking about some thoughts that have gone through your mind. And you're thinking, where in the world did that come from? How perverse is that? Right? I mean, we've all got stuff. I'm glad it's under the blood. I'm glad when I face death and I stand before the judge, I'm glad I have an advocate in Jesus that's going to stand between me and the law, and I'm no longer answerable to the law. I have a defense, thank God, because I'm blessed because I've been saved. But I'm telling you this morning, if you're ungodly, if you're lost this morning, if you've never been born again, if you've never been saved, you're defenseless. You're liable to the law. You will have to answer to the law. And I'm pretty sure, in fact, I'm 100% certain, when you stand before God by yourself, Jesus is not going to be there. It's just going to be you. If you die lost, you're not going to utter a word against God. I mean, people, they say some pretty big things out there on the street. You're out there talking to people, or you might talk to a workmate or a family member or whatever it may be, and they say what they're going to say to God, and they're going to say this and they're going to say that. Oh, they won't be saying a word, brethren. No, they won't utter a word. The sovereign, mighty, almighty God that He is, it's a wonder they can even stand in His very presence. Let alone let alone gather an argument together to seek to defend their sin. I say to you that the ungodly is defenseless. The ungodly shall not stand in the judgment. Psalm 130 and verse 3 says, if thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? You know, if God started going through this room and just marking the iniquities, I'm telling you, not one of us could stand. We're all guilty. We're all undone. All our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Even that good stuff that you think you did, God will mark it out because you're full of pride about it. You see, we're so undone. We're such sinners. Go with me, please, to Romans chapter 3. This is a really important passage. Romans chapter 3, verse 23 through verse 26, talking about the ungodly being defenseless. I want to point out to you our only defense here. There's some really good words in this passage of Scripture. Some of them are big words, but they're not really complicated when you study them out. But it's such an important passage of Scripture. Romans chapter 3 and verse 23 through verse 26. Verse 23 begins, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Could you all please raise your hand? Okay, so when I say all, I mean everyone, right? For all have sinned, that means everyone's sinned. That means all of us are sinners. I mean, you can't get out of it. It says all, right? So don't try and squirm out of it. You just got to humble yourself and admit you're a sinner. As the Bible declares us all as sinners, for all have sinned. And then it says, and come short of the glory of God. Let's just say, let's pick our O here. O is our nice, this is our target. We're shooting, we're going to be shooting, what are we going to shoot? We'll be shooting, let's say, a 308. We're shooting a 308 at this target, right? And we're hitting for the bullseye. Oh, and yep, you squeezed too hard and you pulled it up here. What did you do? You come short of the glory. You missed the mark. Oh, you take another aim. Oh, this time I don't know what you did. Maybe you breathed too much and you're down here now. You see what I'm saying? Here we are, we're constantly trying to do things and we're trying to get better, and every attempt at trying to make the glory of God, every attempt we make at trying to get it right, we miss the mark. To come short of the glory of God is to miss the mark. You have missed the mark. Because Jesus is the mark, right? He is perfection. He's the only one that's ever hit the mark, and nobody else has ever hit the mark, and that's why we're all sinners. That's why the Bible declares us for all of sin and come short of the glory of God. Right, let's read on, verse 24. Being justified freely by his grace. What a statement. Thank God. I'm glad I'm saved this morning. And the reason I'm saved is because I've been justified freely by his grace. There was nothing I could do to earn it. Been justified. What's justified mean? Well, let's say it like this. The word justified has the idea of just as if I'd never sinned. To be justified is to be cleared. To be justified is to have the slate clean. To be justified is to be acquitted. Just as if I'd never sinned. When God saved me, he justified me. And in the sight of God, it's just as if I'd never sinned. Praise God. You know why that is? Because of the blood of Jesus, that's why. Justified freely. By his grace. Notice the next statement. Through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. What's redemption mean? It means to be bought with a price. It means to be bought back out of slavery. I was enslaved to sin. You were enslaved to sin. But God paid the price of redemption for your soul, and he bought you out of the slave markets of sin and set you in heavenly places. What a blessing. Been redeemed. Been redeemed. Have you been redeemed this morning? If you haven't been justified and if you haven't been redeemed, you're defenseless before God. The only way to have a defense, the only way to not be liable to the law when I die, is to be justified by the blood of Jesus. To be redeemed by the blood of Jesus. Let's notice verse 25. Whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood. So God has set forward the Lord Jesus Christ to be the propitiation. What's the word propitiation mean? It has the idea of to appease the wrath. The Lord Jesus Christ came for the sole purpose of appeasing the wrath of God. Because you see, we're all sinners. And we'd all violated the law of God. And so therefore, God's wrath was stirred towards mankind because of mankind's sin. Because mankind had willfully rebelled against God and broken his law. And so God said, God in his wisdom said there's only one way to appease my wrath, and that is if I send my sinless son to die in behalf of all mankind. And in the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, in the death of him on the cross of Calvary, his death, his burial and his resurrection, he appeased the wrath of God. You know why? Because God poured his wrath out upon his son for your sin and for my sin. And if you reject Jesus, if you say you don't want Jesus, I'm telling you, you die defenseless and you'll face the wrath of the Almighty for all eternity. Propitiation means to appease. So verse 25, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. See that word remission? For the remission of sins. To remit is to remove. To have my sins remitted, to have received remission for sins, is to be forgiven. Because when God forgives, he remits, he removes. That's my only defense this morning. That's your only defense when it comes to the law of God. And if you die ungodly, you have no defense before a holy God. Why? Because you've never been justified. You've never been redeemed. Your sins have never been. Now, how do you say that? Well, we're just going to go with the word appeased. The wrath has never been appeased through the propitiation of the Lord Jesus Christ. You've never been justified, and your sins have never been remitted. They've never been removed. Notice verse 26. To declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. So how do you get justified? How do you gain a defense in eternity? You better repent and believe on the Lord Jesus. You better acknowledge that you're lost, that you're a sinner, and Jesus is your only hope. Of redemption, remission, justification, propitiation. All those words. He is the only way to escape the law of God. Defenseless. Go back with me now to Psalm 1 and verse 5. It says, therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. Nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. Now, according to Matthew chapter 25, when Jesus returns, he's going to divide the sheep from the goats. He's going to divide the ungodly from the godly. It's going to be a big drafting day. Now, to the blessed, to the godly in verse 34, in Matthew 25, if you're taking notes, in verse 34, he's going to say, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you. In verse 41, to the ungodly, he's going to say, depart from me, ye cursed. You see, the ungodly, the sinners, will not stand in the congregation of the righteous. I'm glad when I get to heaven, there's only going to be the righteous there. There'll be no sinners in heaven. If sinners went to heaven, I know I'm a sinner. I know you're a sinner. I'm talking about saved sinners going to heaven, lost sinners. If lost sinners went to heaven, it wouldn't be heaven anymore. It'd be just like this dirty old world. I'm telling you that you can try and slice it, you can try and dice it, you can try and rationalize it, and you can try and talk it out in your mind however you want to. But if you die ungodly without Jesus, you're not going to heaven. Doesn't matter how religious you are, doesn't matter how good you think you are, you're not good enough to go to heaven because you come short of the glory of God. You have missed the mark. And you need Jesus to redeem your soul and remit your sins, that you are no longer liable before the Almighty when you die. Psalm 5 and verse 5 says, "The foolish shall not stand in thy sight. Thou hatest all workers of iniquity." Did you hear that? Psalm 5 and verse 5. "The foolish shall not stand in thy sight. Thou hatest all workers of iniquity." You know, you hear an awful lot within Christendom in these days, God is love and love is love, and all it's all about love. Love, 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 love. Do you do understand God hates some things? And Psalm 5 and verse 5 says, you know, have you ever heard the statement, God loves the sinner but hates their sin? Well, have we read that verse? He says he hates the workers of iniquity. But doesn't John 3:16 says he loved the whole world? Sure, you figure it out. I'm not God. I mean, we're talking about a sovereign, infinite God, right? He loves infinitely. And he hates infinitely. And Psalm 5, I mean, we can't take it out of our Bible. Psalm 5 and verse 5 says he hates not the works, the workers of iniquity. Those that do iniquity. That's pretty tight, isn't it? Sure is. Why? Because they've rejected his son. Because they've thumbed their nose at God's holiness and righteousness. I tell you, the ungodly will not stand. Sinners shall not stand in the congregation of the righteous. Let's move down to our third and final point this morning in verse 6. So in verse 4, we saw the ungodly are lifeless. In verse 5, the ungodly are defenseless. And then verse 6, I want you to notice that the ungodly are hopeless. "For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish." Not might, but shall. Being lifeless, defenseless, without Christ, leaves the ungodly utterly hopeless in light of eternity. Job 8 and verse 13 says, "So are the paths of all that forget God, and the hypocrite's hope shall perish, whose hope shall be cut off, and whose trust shall be a spider's web." You know, it talks about the hypocrite's hope shall perish there in Job 8:13. There's a lot of hypocrites that are ungodly. And then it goes down and talks about their hope being like a spider's web. Boy, I'm glad that my hope in Jesus and my hope in eternal life is a whole lot stronger than a spider's web. Aren't you? I mean, we just take a broom and brush them away. Spider's web. You know, people make all sorts of strange ideas, strange philosophies, their hope. And they put all their hope in these philosophies, these ideas, these schemes, and they just come to nothing. The slightest little flame and they melt like a spider's web. If your hope is in anything other than the blood of Jesus, your hope will be cut off like a spider's web. There will be no hope in eternity if your hope's not in Jesus. Job 11 and verse 20 says, "But the eyes of the wicked shall fail, and they shall not escape, and their hope shall be as the giving up of the ghost." Hopeless. Hopelessly lost for all eternity. It says, "The way of the ungodly shall perish." If you die unrepentant in your sin, if you die faithless without Christ, you die ungodly and you die without hope. Luke 13 and verse 3 says, "I tell you nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish." Well, you know, I don't really like that word, repent. It's got a negative connotation to it. It kind of makes me feel bad. You're supposed to feel bad. You've offended a holy, righteous God. You're not supposed to feel good about it. You're supposed to be a little crushed. You're supposed to be grieved. Oh, if you don't repent, you'll die ungodly. You'll die lifeless, defenseless, and hopeless. Matthew 3 and verse 12 says, "Whose fan is in his hand, he will thoroughly purge his floor, gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire." If you die as an ungodly individual, you die without Jesus, you will spend eternity in hell, in the lake of fire. You'll spend eternity in that unquenchable fire. Talks about where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. Could you go with me, please, to Ephesians chapter 2, and this is where we're going to finish. Ephesians chapter 2. Boy, it's a big contrast to last week, isn't it? Last week was exciting. Last week was a blessing. But now we come here to the last half of this psalm, and it's a change of tune. What a contrast between blessed and ungodly. Now, I'm thankful. Praise God. I'm grateful that this morning I'm saved by the blood of Jesus. Glad my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, aren't you? And if there be someone here this morning, if you're not saved, surely you need to be saved this morning. Ephesians 2, I want you to notice verse 12, if you would please. "That at the time you were without Christ," see, that's ungodly. That's to be godless. "That at the time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel." Aliens means stranger, doesn't belong. "And strangers from the commonwealth, covenants of promise." Notice this statement, "having no hope and without God in the world." The very definition of no hope is to be godless. Do you see that there in that verse, in verse 12? "Having no hope and without God in the world." If you are ungodly, if you are without God this morning, if you've never been saved, you are without hope in this world. And you know, as Paul is writing that passage of Scripture, it's talking about past tense. He's talking to the believers. He's talking in past tense. That's how they were. Now notice verse 13. But now. Oh, blessed but now. But now. That's how I was. I was without God. I was without Christ. I was without hope. But now. My but now was 21 years ago. I had to ask my wife. 21 years ago. But now. When I got saved. But now. Notice it. But now. In Christ Jesus. Ye who sometimes were afar off. Are made nigh. By the blood of Christ. Isn't that good? Praise God. I was afar off. I was an alien. I was a stranger for 22 years. And if you're lost this morning, you're an alien from God. You're a stranger from the covenants of promise. You don't belong to God. You don't belong in heaven. But can I tell you? Can I tell you this morning? Today can be your but now. But now. But now in Christ. Your only hope is to be in Christ. Without being in Christ, you're ungodly. Do you see how it all connects together? Oh, what a contrast. Thank God I'm saved. Thank God I stand here a blessed man this morning because of all God has done for me. And thank God for you that are saved and that you're blessed this morning because of what God has done for you in your but now. Right? And if you're lost here this morning, you need to be saved. Can I just exhort you? Your only hope is Jesus. You're going to have to humble yourself. You're going to have to admit, just like I said, you're going to have to admit you're not the shot you think you are. See, you get around telling everyone you hit bullseye all the time, but you don't. You spray it all over the place. You're probably hitting old mate's target over here. And then spruiking about how good you are. You probably hit a bullseye over there. That's what we do, isn't it? You're not as good as you think you are. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. You're going to have to come to that humble opinion of yourself. You're going to have to humble yourself. You're going to have to repent. You're going to have to turn your back on all that nonsense. And you're going to have to place your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you're going to have to say, God, have mercy upon me, a sinner. And until then, you're ungodly. You're lifeless. Defenseless. And hopeless. And there's only one thing that can help you. Nothing but the blood of Jesus.